Well, go ahead and grab your Bibles. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 16. Good time of worship. Thank you, choir and worship team, for leading us in that. Matthew 16. In our series, we started a couple weeks ago on soul fitness. We've documented the importance of our soul because it's that part of us that is going to live forever. Your soul is going to exist forever somewhere. If you know Jesus, it's going to exist forever, eternally alive. You know, the Bible says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And so when you know him, our soul is going to exist alive with him. So even though our body is what we see, the real me and the real you is your soul. Because that's who's going to transcend this life. And so for 2 weeks, we've kind of outlined a strategy of how do we care for our soul? How do we train our soul? How do we take care of our soul? We talked about soul food. You know, the Word of God is our diet. It's our soul food. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we talked about exercising our soul by serving, by having some fitness. And so today, we're going to look at soul health. Because when we do what we should do to nurture our soul, when we feed our soul the Word of God, and when we exercise our soul through fitness, we still, even though we do that, we still experience some obvious contradictions. Now, I'm going to give you a list. I want you to just think if you ever relate to any of these. On one hand, we want to walk by faith. But then on the other hand, we have seeds of doubt and fear. There's a part of me and there's a part of you that wants to grow spiritually. We want to mature and become all God wants us to be. And yet there's another part of us, or at least there's times when we just don't care. We could care less about growing spiritually. We have no desire. And so there's this tension. Sometimes we're filled with love and compassion. And sometimes we want to despise people. And we also want to be angry. And we don't even want to like them. Some days we want to spend time in God's Word. You wake up and go, man, I just can't wait to get alone and meet with God. There's other days where you get up and go, I don't really want to meet with God. I want to go do my thing. I want to go do my day or get into my day. There's a part of me. There's a part of you. Sometimes we just want to quit. But there's another part of us that says, hey, I'm going to fight through to the finish. Sometimes we have pure thoughts and we want to have pure thoughts. And there's other times where we just want to let our mind go. We want to just let our mind wander. And so what happened? Why is that? Why is there this contradiction? Why is this tension in our spiritual life? If Paul was right in 2 Corinthians 5:17, because there he said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old has passed away and the new has come. If Paul was right, and if God's word is true, that I'm a new creation in Christ, that you're a new creation in Christ, then why is there this tension between doing what we want to do, what we should do, and then what we shouldn't do and what we don't want to do? So why is that tension there? If the Word of God is true, well, the Word of God is true. And so we kind of live in this tension, if you will, of trying to be spiritual, needing to be spiritual, wanting to be spiritual, but at the same time wanting to live in the flesh. It seems like, and Peter Lord alluded to this book in the Soul Care, it almost seems like there's two different people. Or better yet, it almost seems sometimes like part of me is spiritual and part of me is not. Like I'm half spiritual and I'm half not. Now that would be fine. I mean, if you were an animal, if we had an animal that was half cat and half dog or half cow and half horse, it would make sense. You know, they would bark, you know, the dog would bark and the cat would meow, or the horse would neigh and the cow would moo. But why do we sometimes want to really serve the Lord and be spiritual? And then at other times, there's just not much desire in our life for the things of God. So why is there this tension? I mean, the Scripture says that I'm a new creation. The Scripture says in Christ that you're a new creation. And so what is the deal there? And so we're going to talk about that because here's kind of the thing. God in His love for us, God in His grace to us, He expects us to choose not to sin. We always get to choose whether we're going to sin or not. We don't, you know, we're not half and half. We don't have to bark and meow. No, no, we can be obedient anytime we want to. Anytime we choose to. Now, the thing that makes this really interesting is that even when we choose not to do right, even when we choose to sin, the Bible says God forgives us. And so even those times when we don't want to spend time with God or we don't want to do the things that God wants us to do, whatever they are, whenever that happens and we mess up, God offers forgiveness. Matter of fact, 1 John chapter 2, let me read just a couple of verses. This is fascinating. This is great news. John chapter 2, 1 and 2 says, My children, or my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so that's the NIV translation, I believe. But so what I'm saying there is, what the Word says is that even when we mess up, God speaks to the Father in our defense. In other words, we have an advocate. We have a defender. We have someone that stands up in the court of heaven and says, God, I'm for Mike. I've taken care of that. I mean, God's written His Word so that we would not sin. But even if we do sin, we have an advocate. In other words, there's forgiveness available to us when we sin. Now here's kind of the thing. This is where it really gets dicey. If Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for sins, if we have one that speaks to the Father in our defense, then does it matter if I sin? If God's going to forgive me anyway, if God's willing to forgive me whatever I do as a believer, then does it matter if I sin? That's the really the bottom line question. If I can be forgiven, does it matter if lust happens? Or does it matter if I despise instead of love? Does it matter if I ignore God instead of spend time with Him? Yeah, it matters. Well, why? I mean, why does it matter? I mean, if God is going to forgive me, or if God's going to forgive you if you engage in premarital sex, if God's going to forgive me if I look at porn on the internet, if God's going to forgive me if I cheat on my taxes, or if God's going to forgive me if I gossip about my peers, if God's going to forgive me if I slander people at church or at the office, if God's going to forgive me if I don't give my tithes and offerings, then why does it matter? Why does it matter? I'll give you a couple reasons. One of them we're going to talk about. But let me give you the first one. The first one is the idea of consequences. God always forgives, but sin still costs. I mean, imagine that you're driving down the road and you're doing 85 in a 55 and you get pulled over. God will forgive you for running 30 miles over the speed limit, but Barney ain't going to forgive you. $300, or well, I mean, that's an arbitrary number. I have not had that experience. Just want you to know I hadn't, not that fast. Okay. But I mean, so there's natural consequences. Hey, you can sin, God will forgive, but there's a cost to pay. There's going to be a cost to pay. And so there's this, so we need to do that because of natural consequences. But there's really a better, I believe there's a better reason. And so I want us to look at our text. If you have your Bibles there, let's look at chapter 16 of Matthew. And we're going to find out why it really, really matters. Verse 24, we'll pick up there, read down through verse 27. Then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for a soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Shall we pray? Father, as we wrestle with this issue of soul health, and we wrestle with this issue of sin and trying to balance the idea that we can be forgiven whatever we do, and yet the responsibility to live a life of faithfulness. And so, God, I pray that you just come and speak into our hearts this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd come and just open the eyes of our heart. God, I want to be the person that wants to get up every day and spend time with God. Lord, I don't want to live in that tension. Lord, I want to live in obedience. And I believe most of our people want to live there. But we need you to help us. We invite you to come and to teach us. And then, Father, I would just pray for that man or that woman, that young person, the child that's here that's yet to decide to follow after Jesus Christ. Maybe they've been considering it. Maybe they've been thinking about it. Maybe they're just here because somebody brought them, because their wife said, hey, you need to come, or their husband said, hey, you need to come, or their parents said, hey, you need to come. For whatever the reason, God, I pray that your spirit would speak into their heart so that they would save not just their life, but they would save their soul. So you come and meet with us this morning. You speak into our life. And Father, we'll give you the glory and the honor for all you do. And I pray and ask it in the strong name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, obviously, there's natural consequences. Wrong choices, sooner or later, they're going to come home to roost. We've talked about that sowing and reaping and all that. But there's also the spiritual consequences. Sin matters if I want to follow Jesus. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time in verse 24. There's some great preaching there. But I do want to point out one thing about verse 24. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What Jesus is kind of saying there is, listen, if you're going to follow me, then you got to live a life of obedience. You got to pursue a life of holiness. That's why sin matters. Because if anyone would come after me, he's got to deny himself. If you sin, if I sin, if we sin, at the heart is selfishness. So to deny myself is to deny my sin. But not only does he say we need to deny ourselves if we're going to come after him, he also says if we're going to come after him, we have to die to ourselves. We need to take up his cross daily. By the way, and I don't want to get into this in great detail, but understand, when Jesus says, if a man wants to follow me, he has to take up his cross, that's not saying if you have a difficult time in life or you're going through a hard time, that's just your cross to bear. That is not what that text means. What that text means, in that culture, when somebody was condemned to death, they would carry the crossbar. And they would carry their own cross and they would take them to where they were going to be crucified. Remember, Jesus was carrying his cross, and when he couldn't carry it anymore, they grabbed a guy out of the crowd and said, hey, you carry his cross. So when Jesus says there, if a man's going to come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me, what he's saying is he must be willing to die to himself in order to chase after Christ. And so when we choose to sin, we're choosing not to be dead to ourselves and follow Christ. We're choosing to do our own thing. And so there's spiritual consequences, and so it's significant. But let's go on. We need to look into our text. Verse 25 and 26 talks about whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It just seems this is such an interesting text, because it seems like such a almost like a contradiction. You know, you got to lose your life to gain it. If you try to gain your life, you'll lose it. So it's really kind of an interesting thought there that he's talking about. But John MacArthur says this. It says, what may here seem to be a complex and contradictory idea is really quite simple. The Lord is saying that whoever lives to save his earthly life, his physical life, his ease and comfort and acceptance by the world, he will lose his opportunity for eternal life. But whoever is willing to give up his earthly life, worldly life, and suffer and die, if necessary for Christ's sake, will find eternal life. And so every person has a choice. We can go for it now and lose then, or we can sacrifice now and gain then. We get to choose. And so that's really, that part of the text is probably about being saved or being lost. But there's an interesting transition in the text there in verse 26, and that's really what I want us to talk about, because I want you to look at verse 26, because it says there, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Now, some translations, if you have the Holman Standard or maybe the King James, it doesn't use the word forfeit. It uses the word lose. And so when you first read it, you would think that the verses are the same. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You think that word forfeit is the same as the word lose, but it's not. It's different. The word in verse 25 for lose is, in the original language, is apolumi, and it means to lose your money, to lose your life, to lose your car. I mean, it means to lose. But the second word in the original is the word zimios. And it's only used 6 times in the New Testament, and 3 of those are in this story in the 3 Gospels. But that word, it means to suffer loss or to incur damage. It doesn't mean that I'm lost. It means that I suffer loss. And so the fascinating thing about this text here, at least in my mind, is that It's possible to damage your soul because you focus on the world. Now, it's possible to lose your soul because you live for the world, but once you get saved, it's possible there. And in fact, Lord goes on to say the logical conclusion because of that is that we'd better accept our soul's value and pay whatever price is necessary to preserve its health. Your soul is of great value, unbelievable value, because it's going to last forever. Listen, the reason sin matters is because sin can damage your soul, and your soul is going to exist forever. And so here's kind of our key takeaway. You know, the first week it was, you know, feed your soul, it's going to last forever. Our key takeaway today is protect your soul. It can be damaged for eternity. Protect your soul. It can be damaged for eternity. I don't know what that damage, how it'll manifest itself. I just know that if my soul, you know, maybe part of the damage is our soul doesn't fully develop. I mean, the last thing you and I want to do is get out into eternity and figure out we could have been up here at this level, but because of our choices, we're down here at this level. And so I don't know how that damage is going to look like. I just know that if we don't reach our full potential, we'll have eternity to wish that we would have done things differently. And so here's the thing. There's certain steps we can take to guard our soul's health, just like there's certain steps we take to protect our physical health. When Carly Ann was 1 year old, she was going to the doctor for that infamous first year annual checkup. That's the one where they give you a shot and a shot and a shot and they prick your finger and all that good stuff. Well, it just so happened that my wife was working that morning. I don't know if she scheduled it in the morning or whatever. So Dad gets to take Carly Ann to the doctor, and guess who gets to hold the baby or the toddler when they give the shots? The parent. I find this fascinating. I don't know if Dr. Owens, I don't know if you do this, Dr. Owens, but you go to the doctor when they get the shots. The doctor comes in to do all the well check, and then they go, now the nurse is going to be in a few minutes to give the shots. See, y'all get to leave. Y'all get to be nice guy. The nurse has to be mean guy, and Dad or Mom has to hold the baby, right? So we go to this, and it's kind of interesting because you get to the pediatrician's office, and there's a well room, and there's a sick room. And I learned that day that, hey, you know, there's some things you need to do. In fact, I went by Dr. Owensby's office this week to take back that little body tape that we had up here talking about, you know, when I saw how lean I was, remember when I measured? So I took that by there, and they don't just have a well room and a sick room. You can go in the well door over here, or you can go in the sick door over here. Well, guess which one I went in? I went in the well door. Why? I don't want to be around sick people. I want to be healthy. Right? When you take your little one to the doctor, you don't want to go sitting there where all that stuff's going on. There's just some things we do to take care of our health. We go to the well room when we go to the doctor. You know that the reason they give those shots, prevention. I didn't like them. I don't know any kid that likes them, but there's value. There's other things we do. I got my little display up here. We take supplements to take care of our health, right? I mean, there's just things we'll add into our life. And these are crazy. Here's some turmeric. If you want a natural anti-inflammatory, I don't know that it works, but you can buy some of that. Now, let's see what we got here. Garcinia Cambogia. I don't know if this is for digestive health. I think it's that stuff you get to help you lose your belly fat. Doesn't work, so don't go get any. Just saying. Got some vitamins. You know, my doctor, I always ask my doctor about taking vitamins, and he'd go, well, you'll get vitamins in the food you eat. I'm thinking, you hadn't seen my diet, dog. Cookie dough and ice cream. You know, there's not a lot of stuff. And so we got that. And then we got, you know, and I got some stuff here for, and then some protein powder for lifting weights. We're willing to do all these things to take care of our physical health. You know, we're going to eat right. We're going to take some supplements and add some things in. We're going to take some shots and get some prevention. And so we'll do all that so we'll be healthy physically. Well, the Bible teaches that there's some things that we can do that'll help preserve the health and protect the health of our soul. If our soul can be damaged for eternity, then what do we need to do? We need to take some steps now to prevent it from being damaged. Well, what are those? Let me just share with you a couple. First of all, the first most important one that you need to do is you need to guard your mind. If you're going to protect your soul, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to guard your mind. If you have your Bibles, turn all the way back over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. In fact, I'm going to read chapter 4, but I'm going to read it in the NIV because I want you to get the sense of it. Solomon said, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Here it is in the English Standard Version, or the ESV. It says it this way, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, why would Solomon say, above all else, guard your heart? Well, really, in the Old Testament, the heart and the mind, it's the same concept. It's the seat of mind, will, and emotions. Now, why would Solomon say to guard your heart? Because he knew. He knew then what we know now. You'll remember this probably from last year. We discovered that, think about this. We do what we do, and we feel what we feel because we think what we think. Therefore, we must guard our heart. At all costs, we must guard our mind at all costs because we do what we do, we feel what we feel, and we think what we think. So that's why we do that. Now, the key to protecting your soul, and the key for me to protect my soul, is we've got to protect our mind. It's got to start in the mind. How many of you are football fans? Anybody? How many are planning on watching all or some of the conference championship games today? Okay, a few of you will be honest. I'm gonna watch some. I'm gonna watch probably as much as I can. I don't know how you work at your house, but whoever I'm rooting for, I'm gonna be an assistant coach and I can help them call plays. And because I know, I do. Some of you ladies, you're married to a guy like me, and he knows how to call plays better than the offensive coordinator and all that stuff. My wife always surprised that they don't ring me during the game. I mean, she just, but here's, even if you're an armchair quarterback like me, here's what you know. You know that whichever team controls the line of scrimmage on offense and defense, whichever team can control the line of scrimmage they have the best chance to win the game. Now, last week I was bellyaching about the Cowboys getting whipped. The reason they got whipped is they couldn't control the line of scrimmage. They couldn't block the other guys, but the other guys could block our guys. Now, tonight, I don't know who's going to win. I'm not even totally sure who I'm rooting for, but here's what I can say. Chances are really high. Whoever controls the line of scrimmage is going to win the game. Now, I say all that to say this. Your mind is the line of scrimmage in the battle against temptation. If you're going to win against sin, if I'm going to win against sin, if we're going to keep our soul healthy, then we've got to win the battle for the mind. Because everything good and everything not good starts in the mind. So that's why Solomon said, guard your mind. That's why Scripture teaches to guard your mind. Now, how do we do that? What would that look like? Well, in order to guard my mind, that demands, first of all, that I guard my eyes. Job 31:1 says this. Again, I'm going to read it in the NIV. Job said this. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Job said, I made a decision. I decided I'm going to guard my eyes. I'm going to protect my eyes. I'm not going to look lustfully at a girl. We live in a culture that is rampant with visual distractions. Whether it's sexual, whether it's materialistic, whether it's, you know, bigger houses, prettier cars, nicer clothes. I mean, we're visually stimulated. And so we're always bombarded with stuff. And so if we're going to guard our mind and guard our heart, then it stands to reason that we must guard our eyes. Have you noticed if you get on Amazon and you look at something, or you get on one of these other retail sites and you look at something, for the next year, that same thing keeps coming up on the side of your webpage? I mean, they don't forget anything. I mean, I got on last night and there's a, you know, the planner calendar for 2019. It keeps coming up. And, you know, I mean, you can buy something. I mean, you can have bought three products. I mean, Christmas is over. We're not looking at that stuff. But they keep bringing it up. And they bring it up over and over and over. And the fascinating thing is they don't forget anything. Anywhere you go, the internet remembers. Big Brother or whoever that, I don't know who that is. And they'll slide these little pictures up. And they'll just keep sliding them up. Or you'll get a little thing that says, still looking for this, still looking for that, right? Here's the thing. When you and me, when we see something with our eyes, it's recorded in this supercomputer. And it, once you see it, it's there. You may not remember it, but it's there. And at the most inopportune time, your enemy, and my enemy, the devil, can bring that to our mind. So guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Because that's the first window to your heart and to your mind. But not only do we need to guard our mind, we have to guard our eyes, but we also have to guard our ears. I mean, let's be honest. Have you ever woke up in the morning and you're singing some song you listened to yesterday or last week or last year? And it's just in your head and it's just playing over and over and over and over. Has that ever happened? Does that happen to you? It happens to me. And so, again, what we let in, it gets recorded. Because you got this supercomputer brain. And it records everything. And at the most inopportune time, Satan can bring that stuff up. And so we need to guard our ears. We need to be careful what we listen to. Because what we listen to will come back. Also, not only should we be careful what we listen to, but we should be careful who we listen to. Because there's some people that, you know, they're just downers. You hang around them, they want to gossip. You hang around them, they want to slander. You hang around them, they want to be negative. And so you got to be careful who you hang around with. There's other people you hang around with. I hope you don't hang around with them. But there's other people, man, they just have a certain vernacular. I mean, it's just, there's language DNA just includes trash. I mean, they tell raunchy jokes. They use raunchy words. They're just negative, and they're sinful, and they're coarse in the way they talk. And listen, that's not who you need to hang around with. That's not who you need to be with. A number of years ago, we were home on Christmas vacation, and I got two brothers, two sisters, and the brother-in-laws, and we're all hanging out, and somebody plays this joke by this comedian, so I thought, well, he's pretty funny. I'd heard him before. I said, it's pretty funny. And, I mean, it wasn't filthy. It just wasn't edifying. He's one of them guys that call people up and see if he can get them stirred up. And he'd call them up. I ain't going to tell you his name because I don't want you to go Google him today and listen to him. But, man, he was funny. And it was just, and I liked kind of telling his stories. But it wasn't long, man, the Spirit of God just convicted my heart. So you don't even be listening. And I was like, well, you know, God, I mean, it's, you know, it's not. No, you don't need to be listening to that because it's not edifying and uplifting. And so I don't listen to it. I would enjoy it, but I don't listen to it because I'm trying to guard what I hear. Now, I struggle like you struggle. But I'm just saying, if you're going to protect your mind, if you're going to win the line of scrimmage and live a holy life, you got to guard what you see, you got to guard what you hear and who you hear it from. But not only that, also we need to guard our mouth. It's one thing to listen to somebody else, but we need to guard ourselves. Turn over, if you will, to Ephesians 5. You're familiar with this verse, but just real quickly, Ephesians 5, listen to verse 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. We need to not just guard what we hear and not just guard what we see, but we need to guard what we say. Now again, whatever we've heard is recorded. And it stays there, just like in your computer. I mean, I could tell you jokes. They're just in here. I could just pull them up. And I could just tell you story after story after story. But the Word says, hey, guard your mouth. Be careful what you say. You know, one wrong joke can ruin your reputation for a long time. One racy story, one coarse conversation can ruin your testimony. And so guard what you say. Remember Jesus said, by the way, you know, if whatever comes out is what's in here. That's why, you know, if I'm going to guard my mouth, I need to first guard what I hear and what I see. Because if I don't put it in, it's not going to come out, right? So guard your mouth. Then last of all, he says to guard your actions. We need to guard, he doesn't say that, we need to guard our actions. As a believer in Jesus Christ, there are just some things that you know, and I don't, there's just some things that we know we shouldn't do. There are some places that we know I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't be found there. I shouldn't get caught there. There's certain things that I know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, I shouldn't do that. And we know that. But we don't always do that. And so if we're going to care for our soul and protect our soul, then we've got to be willing to guard our actions. A number of years ago, I was reading an article about watching what you watch on TV, video or whatever. And one of the things they said to do, they said you should ask before you watch, can I thank God for that? If I watch that show, if I watch that movie, can I thank God for that? Now, here's what I want to, I know I'm meddling, I understand. But when it comes to things we do and places we go, wouldn't that be a great question? Wouldn't it be great that before we go somewhere, do something, we say, okay, if I do this, can I thank God for it? During and after. If I go there, can I thank God for this? Now, some of you are thinking, well, I'm just hoping God's not paying attention. I'm going to go do it anyway. He's paying attention. See, remember what Jesus said? The Son of Man is going to come in all His glory. And then He will reward us for what we say. What we do. And so, listen, if you're going to have a healthy soul, you got to guard your mind. And you do that by guarding your eyes, your ears, your actions, your hands and feet, and your mouth. You need to do that. This spring, you'll be driving along the road and you'll, by probably middle of May, you'll see this kudzu everywhere, right? You know, they brought it in a century or century and a half ago. The idea is this stuff's going to help us with erosion and it's going to kind of help do that. And you know, maybe it does. But what will happen is the stuff just takes over. If there's no cattle to graze or sheep to graze on it, then, you know, it just takes the place over. Now, what you'll notice about the kudzu is... It looks like monsters is what it looks like, but it's like these tree trunks that used to be. But it seems like what happened is the kudzu got, the vines got on the tree and it sucked the life out of the tree and the tree died. Sin is kind of like spiritual kudzu. It gets its claws into you and it'll suck the vitality out of your spiritual life and it'll damage your soul. And if you and I, if we don't deal with our sin, if we don't guard our mind, our heart, our hands, our feet, our ears, our eyes, if we don't take steps, then it'll suck the life out of our soul and our soul will be damaged for eternity. So protect your soul. It's going to last forever. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, as we bring our time together to a close here this morning, I pray for me, Lord, for us, that we would think about this principle of guarding our mind, winning the spiritual line of scrimmage so that we can live a life of obedience, because there's just, sin has consequences. It'll suck the vitality out of our soul. It'll suck the joy out of our life. It'll damage your soul for eternity. And so, Father, this morning, as we think about this text and as we think about taking care of our soul, I pray that you remind us that if we're gonna come after Jesus, we got to deny ourselves. We got to take up our cross. We got to die to ourselves. We've got to follow Him. And so, Father, in an auditorium this size, I know there are those who are struggling. There's probably some that have certain habits in their life, certain things they're seeing or certain things they're saying or certain things they're hearing or certain things they're doing. Perhaps most of us have something like that. God, maybe you want to deal with that area of our life. So I just pray for the believer that needs to get along with you and get honest with you and say, hey, Jesus, I need to repent. I need to choose to deny me so I can follow you. God, others in the audience have never given their life to Jesus. Their soul's going to exist forever somewhere, but right now it's not going to exist for eternity with you. And God, my hope is that they would decide. They would choose to surrender their life and follow Jesus. And so God, in these next couple minutes as we sing a song of reflection, God, if there's anyone needs prayer, if anyone needs some direction on how to give their life to Christ, if they want to come and kneel and just ask you to work in their heart, Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in every person's life this morning. Have your way, Father, in every person's heart. And we'll be careful, Lord Jesus, to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Because you are worthy of being followed. Help us to chase after you, Lord Jesus, our prayer. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.